There's an ice cream. Exactly.
You did say we're having it this week, right? It's next week that we're not.
Is that right?
Because he's going to be traveling.
Right. Well,
to Denver.
But I thought we were having it this week.
Next week.
Right. I thought we're having it this week.
Right.
Right. It's this. The post begins to change. You have to put my voice into the microphone. It will now be used. Okay. We'll find out. I didn't call.
You can talk to her. She said she'd see you. Shabbos.
Let me check my email. It's just... That's just amazing.
What?
Fix. Scoring games.
Hello.
There he is.
Hi.
Didn't mean to wake you.
We were questioning whether it'll be class tonight or not.
Yeah. I wasn't.
What's the question?
It's next week.
Is there a class tonight?
No, that's a good question. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, there's just the two of us are here right now. I don't know.
How romantic.
Yeah. This is what we do on a night out.
That's it. Hey, big spender.
I still have tuition.
Yeah.
Good excuse.
I had a long day today.
Yeah.
I had a dintar. This was hilarious.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
So, you're probably not familiar. There is a position called a towane. You ever heard of a towane?
No.
What a towane is a rabbinic lawyer.
Okay.
So like, when you go to secular court, you bring a lawyer with you.
Right.
You go to Beis Din, that is, you bring this towane with you.
Right.
Our Beis Din does not allow a towane to come in because they're all crooks.
Wow.
Every one of them, top to bottom.
Wow.
So I will not sit on the case if one of them are there. There's one time where it ended up that I had to be on a case with one. And what I did is I brought a Wall Street Journal with me. Whenever the towane began to speak, I took out my paper. I'm not listening to this guy. You're wasting your money. In this case, the towane was the plaintiff.
Uh-oh, yeah, no choice.
Suing his client who didn't pay him in a different Beis Din.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was hilarious because I don't deal with these guys because I think they're all crooks. So the guy's opening line was, he was a chesirsha guy. He said, I worked so hard for the guy. I did every type of shtick. You know, I lied, I cheated, I did this, I did that. Now he's doing the same thing to me, not to pay me.
Oh, my gosh. Karma.
That's funny.
Can you imagine this?
Oh, my God. And he takes that to a Beis Din. I cheated right. Him now. Cheating me.
So I just couldn't get over this. I just couldn't get over how just openly they're admitting how crooked they are.
God, how do they? I don't get that.
Themselves?
Yeah.
Quite well, it seems. So
what did you do at the end? You just said, "Well, too bad," or "Sorry."
What? So this case was supposed to start at 3:00. It went till after 8:30 at night.
Wait.
It's interesting. One of the claims that the client had is this guy was totally incompetent. You know, he never showed up on time, blah, blah, blah. So that guy showed up an hour late to the din Torah by us.
Oh, my God.
Consistency.
Really do your case well.
Freaking frack.
He showed up to the wrong Beis Din.
Yeah.
Actually.
Hi, Patty.
Okay.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grumble. So no din Torah next week because it's Rabinovich Sheva Brachas.
Next week.
No class.
Oh, Sunday. When is the wedding?
The wedding is Sunday, but they're having Sheva Brachas in Merkaz at from 7 to 8:30, I think, next week. I think I'm not going to make it. I will be at the wedding on Sunday. We are hosting Sheva Brachas on Wednesday. And I think I'm going to Sheva Brachas in Denver on Saturday night.
Okay. You're covering it all. Yeah. And do you need a ride from the airport when you get in?
I don't know. If you could check with Shlomo or Craig, one of the people who are in charge.
Okay.
It's not a dinner. It's a lunch.
I will try and find out.
Yeah. Shabbos before.
Hi, right. Rabbi.
No, it's the same Shabbos, but it's Shabbos lunch. Is that the shul?
Oh, it's a lunch?
And at night, they're having a party.
No, it's Saturday night. It's not Friday night. I assume it's someplace Saturday night. Friday night, I'm busy. I'm applying for the position at DOT. You see, I don't have that much time.
Yeah, really?
Good luck. Good luck.
Sorry, I won't
figured,
be there.
You know, all my predecessors did it. Why not?
Yeah, okay.
They also moved into our neighborhood.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a fair point. Yeah. The first one moved into Shlomo's house.
That's right.
We got a mikveh in our neighborhood.
Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. Perek Vav, we're all together. Do you guys have the sheets?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I do.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. If you remember, last week we were discussing the fact that the Aron was in the land of the Plishtim, and it really wasn't working out well for the Plishtim at all.
Not at all.
Nuh-uh. So, we start off by saying, Vayihi Aron Adonai b'shtei Plishtim shiva chadashim. So, in fact, the Aron remained in the Plishtim for 7 months. Interestingly, if you look at the Medrash in number one makes comments related to this. If you remember, so Avraham made a treaty with Avimelech. Who was Avimelech? He was the king of?
The Plishtim.
So it says in number one, Vayikach Avram Tzonu Bakar, Vayitin Avimelech, Vayom Avimelech Avram, Ma Hino Sheva Kvosos Amalo Akosh Baruch Hu. So he went and he gave over to him 7 sheep. So Avimelech says, why? Why did you give it to me? And he says, no, it's an indication that I own these wells. According to the Medrash, God was not happy with that. What are you giving gifts to the king of the Plishtim for? Right? So therefore, Kenegan Cain Aroni Chose Bistay Plishtim Zayin Chadashim. So he says, because you in fact went and gave over these 7 things as a punishment later on in history. 7 months, the Aron's going to be in his land.
But wait a minute.
Yes.
Why do we hear about this? Why do we hear about this here and now versus when Avram makes the treaty?
Meaning, why wasn't God quicker with the punishment?
No. Why wasn't God quicker with saying this isn't a great idea?
You say, why didn't God tell him not to do it instead of being reactionary?
Yes.
So I think the answer is that, in general, God allows a person to sin. And then if the person sins, he punishes the person for that.
So you're saying that making this treaty was a sin?
Yes.
Well, Avram is long gone now.
It is true. Avram is long gone. But it's not unheard of, for things to be played out generations later.
No, I get that. I'm just saying, number one, Avram is trying to make a treaty and do a good
thing, number one. Number two, he doesn't know that he's sinned. We don't know that he's sinned. And the whole point was to make a peace treaty, if you will.
Right. So we have discussed previously that you're not allowed to make peace treaties with the inhabitants of the land of Israel. Yes.
Yes, I continue to have problems with that. We should just...
Okay, so you can have problems with this as well. It all goes together.
I do. I'm just saying that it was quarrelsome when they're coming into the land, and they're trying to make peace for themselves and the other people.
But what is he doing?
I'm sorry?
No, nothing.
Okay. It does feel reactionary. It's funny that it shows up here. It feels like... How would anybody know this until now?
Well, what is it different whether we know it until now?
Well, first of all, because the person causing the sin doesn't know it and doesn't know that he's sinning.
Well, by now he does, because as you pointed out, he's spending quality time with God at this point.
That's true.
It's like hindsight, right?
Can't argue that. It makes me feel like the rabbis have this 7 months, and they don't know why 7 months, and they reach back is what it feels like to me.
Well, again, why would they have to do that?
I don't think they have to. I don't know why that it just feels that way to me. So I'm trying to understand it. I'm trying to understand.
Right. So I don't think that that's necessarily the case, because there's no reason to them to do this. For whatever reason, they have this tradition, and they're sharing it with us.
It just seems odd to me, but go on.
Okay. Fair enough. The Pasuk Beis. Vayikru plishim ha-kohanim la-kosvim le'mor ma'naseh la'aron Adonai hodi'unu b'men nishalchem le'makomo. So they call together their priests and their magicians, and they say, how do we get rid of this? By Yomru. In Mishalchim es Aron Elohim Elohei Yisrael. Al tishachu so reikam, ki yoshev toshivo asham, az terap uva nodalachem lama lo taso yodam ikem. He said, you can't send it back empty-handed. If you want God to accept it, you in fact are going to have to send it back together with some sort of donation, shall we say. So, all right. Vayomru, ma ashem asher nashivom. Vayomru, mispar sarnei plishtim chamisha, techorei zahav, achamisha achmarei zahav, ki magefa achas lechuvam lesarneim. He said, well, there are five people here, five governors, shall we say, that of the cities of the Plishtim, right? We said there are five major Plishti cities, right? Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gaza, Gat, and Ekron. Mm-hmm. Said each one of you has got to give one gold mouse and one gold hemorrhoid.
Ooh, what?
Yeah, because if you remember what exactly the maka they got from this.
Right. So they have to give their intestine
an offering of gold of these things.
Of gold, and it should be shaped.
Shaped like the maka that they had.
Yeah.
Lovely.
What do you get the girl who's got everything?
Not that.
I don't know that I could wear that on my finger.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's definitely, you say what you want. It's definitely original.
That's true.
So he says, okay, hey, Vasi Sem Tzame Aforechem Tzame Achbarechem Hamashchisim. Yes, Aris, Esatim Lohe Yisrael Kavod. Ulaya Keles Yadom Erechem Eyalohechem Eyal Arzachem. If you provide him with this, perhaps he will look kindly upon that, accept the Aron back, and you'll be done with this problem.
Who told him this?
These are the
sorcerers,
the wizards, and the priests of the Plishtim.
Okay.
The wise men.
Vavolama tachadu es levavchem kasher kivdu mitzrayim uparo es libam lo kasher hisalel b'hem yishachum v'erechum. So listen, the last person who held back was Paro.
Not a good idea.
He hardened his heart. How did that turn out for him?
Not so good.
Not great. Right? He said, right. Don't make that mistake. Give him what he wants. Send him back. Wash your hands with this.
So to speak.
Ushtei faros alos asher lo ala aleihem ol. Va'asartem es haparos ba'agala va'ashivosim b'neihem achareihem abayita. And here's what you should do. Take two cows that have never worked a day in their lives. Kolo cows, we'll call them. And
You're so politically incorrect, my God.
I've had a long day, you understand?
I didn't hear the story earlier, but I'm sure that's true.
Oh, boy. It's been a long one.
Okay.
All my faith in humanity has gone right down the toilet. It's one of those days.
Okay. I'll get caught up later.
Mm-hmm. So, take these two cows that never worked, right? Strap them to a new wagon, and then take the calves of these cows and send them in the opposite direction. Now, what would you expect the cows to do?
Follow the calves,
right. Well, kachtem es aron adonai, mesatem oso al ha'agala, ves klei ha'zahav asher ha'shev oso lo asham, tasimu ba'argaz mitzido, v'shirachto oso v'harach. He said, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take the aron and put it in the wagon. And with that, you're also going to take a special box and you're going to put in the golden mice. Okay.
Objects.
What's called the golden stuff will go in there.
Yeah,
the stuff. In the event that the cows act in an unnatural way and they start heading out to Beit Shemesh away from their children, then we'll know the Aron was what caused us all these problems. However, if the cows just naturally follow the calves, then we know these are two unrelated facts.
Wait a minute. Let me understand this. If they follow the calves,
it's natural.
But if they go to Beit Shemesh,
right,
then that's not natural, and that's the right thing.
Well, that proves that in fact it was the Aron that was behind all this.
Got it. Because naturally they should follow the calves.
Correct. That's what you would have expected.
Yes. Just out of curiosity, if the calves had headed toward Beit Shemesh and the cows followed their calves, what about that option?
So I think it was a problem because they held the calves back by the house.
Okay.
They didn't let the calves wander off.
That was the whole point.
So in fact,
they sent them in that direction. Got it.
So Yud... Vayasu anashim kein vayichu shtei paros alos vayasu ba'agala v'espineyam kolu abayis. They took the two cows, they put them onto the wagon, and the kids, the calves, they put back in the house. Yir'alav vayasimu es aron adonai el ha'agala v'esa argaz v'esach v'ezo v'esalmei t'choreyam. And in the wagon they put the aron, and they put this box, and they also put in there the gold. Let's take a look at the sources in number two. The source is a little bothered by the fact that why do we keep on talking about the box?
Yeah.
Right? Why is that really important? That how they, you know, it's nice to wrap a gift and all. So the Gemara in Yuma tells us that this is not a simple box. Vahatanya, Mishanignos Aron Nignos Inots in Senes Haman. The Gemara says when the Aron was put into hiding, they put together with it a few other things. One is there was a jar of mun that they saved.
Wow.
That also was lying. Well, we find it, we also find Sluchis Shemen HaMishcha. There is a jug of the oil that was used to anoint the king. Umakol Shal Aron Rishke Deru Prachel. And if you remember, after the story with Korach, they put all the staffs in. And the staff of Aaron grew almonds. That's there also.
The staff or the
staff.
The staff.
And last, the Argal Sheshagu Prishtim Doron Lerohe Yisrael. And also, this box was put together with those artifacts. Meaning that once this box was put next to the Aron, they were neighbors forever.
I'm assuming the box went in the Aron. Is that? It's just
not correct.
Okay, it just stays with it.
Right. Meaning that they put it on the side together with the.
Okay.
Yeah, with the various golden offerings.
Got it. But all those other things, the staff and the oil and all that, is in the Aron?
No, that's also next to the Aron. The only thing that's in the Aron are the Luchos.
But I thought the Luchos were taken by Saul.
Right. At this point, there's nothing in the Aron.
Right. There's nothing in the Aron.
You have the Luchos.
Okay, but wait a minute. They've got the Aron. Is there anything in the Aron? Is the staff there? Is the oil there? Is any of that in it?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
Nada.
So this is just commentary for the future about what'll be next to the Aron?
Correct.
Okay.
No, meaning that at the point when the Aron goes into...
Shemesh or?
No, when it goes in, and when the first base of Migdash is getting destroyed.
Right.
And the Aron is hidden away.
Right.
Right. At that point, we're saying that these other items were also hidden away.
Okay. Is this the first time we hear about all that? Is this, it's the first time I'm hearing about it, but is this the first time we know about this?
I'm not sure how we say first time. I mean, this is a comment in the Gemara.
No, I get that, but up until...
I raise it here just because of the point of the box.
I got it. But how would I have known... I've never heard this before. How would I have heard about this earlier?
I don't know.
Okay.
The comment on the next pasuk will undoubtedly upset Patty. So we're going to jump right into it.
All right.
So Yudbeis says, Vayisharna paros baderech al derech beit shemesh b'mesira achas hochu halof v'gahu v'lo sori yaminu smol v'sarnei plishtim hochim achreim ad gvul beit shemesh. So the word Vayisharna.
Yeah.
Probably comes with the word you would think based on from the context as to yashar. What's yashar?
Go straight.
Right. So the simple reading is Vayisharna haparot baderech. Right? Right? Meaning that they went straight on the road. Right? To Beit Shemesh. Right? B'mesila achas in one line. So yaminu small, they did not turn to the right or the left. And the officers, the governors of the Plishtim, followed them to the border of Beit Shemesh. That's the simple reading.
Right.
The Gemara, though, has a different understanding. He thinks that the word Vayisharna does not come from the word Yashar, but whether it comes from the word Shira, meaning?
Song.
A song.
Right. So Looking at number three, Vayisharna Parot Derech al Derech Beit Shemesh. My Vayisharna. What does this word Vayisharna mean? It's a little bit of an odd word. That's the truth. It says Amar Rav Yochanan Rameyah Sheamru Shira. So the first opinion is that they sang. The second opinion is Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav. They were walking with their faces facing the Aron, facing backwards, and they were singing all the way.
I don't have that picture at all. How can they be singing backwards when the wagon is moving in front of them?
They're walking forward, but they're, right. You know, sometimes people do that, they're driving. And
yeah.
They know, and they're talking to the kids in the back seat.
Yeah.
You kids don't behave yourself, so help me. Never happened to the Schreiber family, I'm sure.
Never.
So when we have difficult children like I do.
Yeah. We did. We just never looked.
So they're traveling forward. They're following the wagon, and they're singing backwards.
Right. They're walking forward, according to the same opinion. But according to all opinions in the Gemara, the word Vayisharna does not refer from the root of Yashar, but rather it's on the root of Shir, or Shira, which is definitely not the reading that I would have expected.
Also, what is that? What is it telling us? If that's the reading, what are we learning from this?
What we're learning from here is that that this was miraculous, what was happening here.
I don't know what's miraculous. Is the miraculous part that the
I think the singing cows are miraculous.
The cows are singing?
Yes.
Well, that's the first time I understood it that way. I thought they're singing.
No, the cows are singing.
The cows are singing. Did you all get that? The cows are singing?
No.
Right, okay. I'm not the only one. We just got that.
But I'm not surprised.
Okay. That's the amazing statement here. The Gemara understands that the cows were singing.
So wait a minute. In the translation, and again, this can bring some interpretation. It says they went in a single path, lowing as they walked. And I'm thinking they're kind of mooing, and you're saying that means they were the lowing or whatever. The translation is
no. It's the first word, Vayisharna. Translating is as they walk straight.
They walked singing.
They walked singing.
Amazing.
Now,
amazing.
The Ritva.
Okay.
Says, what's going on here?
Right.
Are you serious? Number four, V'amru Shira. Pirish B'Lashon HaKodesh Mamish. They were singing in Hebrew.
Oh my God, that's good.
Aleinu al tefeinu rasheinu aturim mitzot haratzbanu
eveinu. These are remarkable cows.
Abana biyavo evev, you know. So, v'zesh enechu b'may amru b'may shalom manu zeh b'mishna avos im shar nisim shnivar b'erev Shabbos. He says, well, wait a second. We make such a big deal about the fact that Bilam's donkey talks.
Right? Yeah.
Isn't this at least equally impressive?
I think it's doubly impressive because they're both singing.
Right?
Yeah.
In fact, this reminds me of the famous joke. You know the joke, yes?
Which
about
one?
The talking frog?
No.
Refresh my memory.
Okay, well, once upon a time, there was a grad student. Computer grad student is working, and a frog comes next to him and says, I'm actually a beautiful princess. Kiss me, and I will be yours.
Oh, the frog prince story, yeah?
And the grad student grabs the frog and puts it in his pocket.
Right.
Keeps on typing. He gets home at night, and he puts the frog on his night table. And the frog says, excuse me, I think you might have missed this. I told you I was a beautiful princess. If you kiss me, I'll be yours. And with that, he smiles. He turns off the light and goes to sleep. He gets up in the morning. At this point, the frog is just very exasperated. And the frog says, I don't understand. I keep on telling you. I am a beautiful princess. Why don't you kiss me? And the guy says, listen, I'm a grad student. I don't have time for a girlfriend, but a talking frog, that's cool.
I didn't know that story.
Sounds about right.
The Ritva is bothered by if the Gemara is right, and we have singing frogs here, excuse myself now.
Pulling a wagon.
Yeah, right. That's really amazing.
So why don't we have here this? That is the question that we're dealing with. And so his answer is not a great one. He says, well, in fact, when it says that God miraculously created the mouth of the donkey, it really means he made talking animals, and this is part of the list.
Oh, so it's part of that miracle?
Right. Yeah, we already counted it.
So the snake's also part of that.
Right, interesting. There was that other talking animal also.
That's very good. So are there any other animals that I'm missing? I now have snakes, a donkey, and two cows. Are there any more on the list?
I think you have the complete collection now.
Okay, good to know. I didn't know that I should add frogs.
That's right. One morning when Paro got up from his bed. Yes. Okay, so they make it to Beit Shemesh. Yud Gimel Beit Shemesh, Kotzrim Ketzir Chitim by Emek, by Yisus Einayim, by Yiras Aron, by Yisbuchu Leros. And here the people were out and they were
reaping.
They were the reaper.
Harvesting.
They were grimly reaping. And all of a sudden, they're not grim anymore because they see the Aron and now they're all happy. Mm-hmm. Yidal v'agala bar el sede Yoshua beit ha-shimshi v'atamocham v'shem even gedola v'yivaku es atze ha-agala v'esaparos helu ola ladonoi. So he shows up in this house and all of a sudden the people are very excited. So what do?
They slaughter those poor cows.
Yeah, that's the
language. How ridiculous a move is that? You have a talking cow and you can get steaks out of it?
Really?
Yeah.
And also, they break up the wagon. I understand that.
They use the wagon for the wood, and they with that they offer it. Balavim horidu es aron adonoi ves argaze ito asher bo kli zahav vayesimas al even gedola v'anshei beit shemesh haru alos v'yizbuchu zvachim bayom ahu. And with that, unbelievable, the people of Beit Shemesh are thrilled. And in fact, they are offering also to Karbanos because they are grateful that the Aron has been returned.
What do they think about these golden objects?
So it says they took them as well. Interesting, if you look at number 6, the Gemara says, why exactly did they kill the cows?
Yeah,
10. Mm-hmm. So they just kind of left it at that. Harasha Haisa. Whatever, there was an exception to the rule, there was a reason for it. We're not sure what it is.
Also, would they have heard the cows singing?
The people who made them? When they showed up there.
I would think they were singing in Hebrew, out loud.
Right, I think we said which song it was. Sing Salenu Al Ktefenu.
Or one of the top 10, you know.
One of those ditties?
Yeah.
Right.
It seems a weird thing to just slaughter those cows.
Right. So
we don't know the reason.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
I said we don't know the reason. No. Right.
Maybe they couldn't carry it.
Okay.
Alan figured it out.
Yeah, Alan's here.
Yeah, they couldn't carry a tune.
That's it. Well, I'd say that could be the end of Edith if anyone showed up at Shalva Shuddas.
Yeah.
We don't do sacrifices anymore.
That is the sacrifice. What are you talking about?
All right. So with that, the five governors of the Plishtim see that this has been taken care of and they head home. Yitzayin says, and here's what was given. V'eila t'chorei ha-zahav asher heishivu Plishtim asham adonai la'ashtod echad, la'azoy echad, la'eshkon echad, la'gat echad, la'ekron echad. So these five hemorrhoids, they were donated, one by each city, one from the Ashdod, one from Gaza, one from Ashkelon, one from Gaza and Ekron. Similarly, when it comes to the golden mice, those are from the more minor cities. So that also, all the minor cities, all the big cities gave golden mice. Everybody else chipped in a golden hemorrhoid. And these things all remained in Sadeh Yehoshua and Beis Shemesh. So, unfortunately, things did not turn out so good once again. Yotes, Vayach va'anshe Beit Shemesh kira'u ba'aron Adonai, Vayach va'am shivim ish, chamishim elef ish, Vayisabru ha'am ki yika Adonai ba'am mako gedola. Very hard pasuk to translate even.
Yeah.
Right? And they saw the Aron, and God killed 70 men, 50,000 men. And with that, people were sad.
These are the people of Beit Shemesh?
Yeah. So what's 70? Was it 50,000? What was it?
Right. And why?
And why?
Right.
And why? So we'll start with the why in number five. Adohu deksiv o yavo liroz kabalah. Zeh Aron im osim kein mahu kabalah. Amar Rav Levi im roin ba'aron kabalah hazeh shu nofel min ha'ayin biyad hem esim. People should not be looking at the Aron. What's the source for this? Everybody knows. It's Raiders of the Lost Ark. Right?
Right.
If you look at it, your face will melt. It'll be terrible.
Right. Right.
Everybody knows that. So he said, the Tanim Anshe Beit Shemesh, Shenema Vayach Anshe Beit Shemesh, Kira'u Ba'aron Hashem Vayach Ba'am. Ma'u Kira'u Ba'aron Hashem Ravavo Rebelozer Chanomer Kotrim Mishtachrim Hoyu V'chanom Medabrim Devarim Yisayrim Hoyu. Said that somehow they weren't acting with respect. Either they were schmoozing in front of the Aron, which they shouldn't have been doing, or they kept on cutting their wheat. Right, so that's the reason why. Number seven, what's going on with this 50,000? So the Gemara in Sota has two opinions. Vayach ba'am shivim ish v'chamishim elef ish. Rebbe Yavov, Rebbe Lozer, it's machlokes. Right, Rebbe Chad omer shivim ish hoyu v'cho echad v'echad shkum k'chamishim elef. One said 70 people were killed, but each one was as great as 50,000 men. Or the other said that no, actually 50,000 people were killed, and each of them was as great as the 70 members of Sanhedrin.
Either way, it's bad.
Either way, it is undoubtedly bad. I would agree with that. So, the bottom line is here, that we definitely have something really bad happening. Let's finish the parak.
Wait a minute. Don't the Plishtim see this going on?
No, they left before this.
Wow. Okay. They wouldn't have heard about it? I mean, we're talking about a lot of people.
So it could be they would have. Maybe coulda, woulda, shoulda.
So maybe they thought, oh, good thing we got rid of this because now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right, we could unload this puppy quickly enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. By Anshe Beit Shemesh, mi yuchal la'amod lifnei Adonai Elohim ha-kadosh hazeh, v'al mi yalem eleinu. He said, well, what are we supposed to do with this now?
Right.
Vayishrechu malachim el yoshve kirya ye'arim leymar. Eshivu plishtim es aron Adonai uredu ha'alu oso aleichem. So they decided they're going to send it to the city of Kirya ye'arim and let them deal with it. Where is Kirya ye'arim?
I was going to ask
anybody
you that.
No. So Kiryat Yerim in modern day Israel is known, the Kiryat is known as Kiryat Yerim, but within Kiryat Yerim, there are two towns, shall we say. One town is
what part
is Gosh? Oh. And the other one, which might be better known, is Telstone.
Oh wow. Telstone? Where is this?
So Telstone is on the road from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv.
Okay.
Right? No, so they decided that's where they're gonna send it. Why specifically Telstone?
Right. Why?
So it ends up I have a video for that also.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Are we going to see this?
Oh, I've got the other video. Let me call it up.
I love your videos.
Can't beat that. Okay.
The Aron HaBrit, the Ark of the Covenant, was returned.
How we doing here? Can you guys see it?
Not yet.
However, the people of the country did not treat the Aron with proper respect, and many of them died. So they sent messengers to the people of Kiryat Yearim, a city which was located near the site of the modern town of Telstone.
So here you have it. Like, this is Telstone. This is the highway. This way is Yerushalayim to Mevaseret, and this way starts Tel Aviv.
That looks like some kind of Roman excavation.
Okay, so this room is next to Telstone.
Mm-hmm.
They said to the people of Kiryat Yearim, Eshivu Plishtim et Aron Hashem, Redu Alu Oto Alechem. Come down to Beit Shemesh and take the Aron up to you. Why did they use the words come down and take up? If we look carefully at the map, we see that Beit Shemesh is located in Mishpela, the hilly country at the foot of the mountains, at an elevation of only 240 meters above sea level, while Kiryat Yearim is located in the middle of the mountains, the Hare Yehuda, at an elevation of 760 meters above sea level. But why do I want to have the Aron taken into the mountains? They cherish and close to the land of the Plishtim. So it would make sense to move the Aron to a fortified city in the mountains, since only the Israelites lived in the mountains. This would help ensure that the Plishtim would not try to capture the Aron once again. But why did the people of Beit Shemesh come specifically to Kiryat Yearim? The Gemara in Zavalkin on page 54 says that there is an oral tradition that the Beit HaMikdash must be built in a place that straddles the border between the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Yehuda. So we can assume that when they needed to move the Aron, they wanted to bring it to a place along that border. But that's a long border. Why did they take it specifically to Kiryat Yearim? To answer that, let's take a closer look at the terrain. They couldn't take the Aron straight up the steep mountainside. They needed to use some sort of passage up. We know from several places in Tanakh that there was a road leading from Beit Shemesh into the mountains. Let's see if we can find it. Let's try this valley, now called Nahal Kisalom. Here the river passes under Beit Meir. Ramat Raziel and Givat Yearim.
Oh, check it out, there it is!
That's where they took it.
Where is it? Ah, there it is.
What am I?
To sum it all up, the people of Beit Shemesh wanted to move the Aron to a fortified city in the mountains near the border between the tribe of Yehuda and Binyamin. And the road from Beit Shemesh into the mountains and up to the border went directly to Kiryat Yearim.
There you have it.
Wow.
First of all,
yes,
the Plishim didn't try and capture it. We took it in there, and they took it at that point.
Again, what he said was they were concerned that the Plishim would have second thoughts and decide that they want it back.
Not after what they went through. Why would they?
I don't know if we knew what they went through.
Uh-huh.
Just wanted to be safe.
You know. Okay.
Well, it was our negligence, our misjudgment.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that is the end of this chapter. And we will continue, I guess, in 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
So next week we're off. The week afterwards we're on. And then the week after that, I think we're off again because I'm in Israel.
Right. Oh.
Okay.
What are you going to Israel for this time? To see Deborah. Are you both going? You going
We're
alone?
We're both going.
Okay. Are the kids going too?
No. Oh. Someone's got to work. You know, I pay for these trips.
The kids? You got your kids working? Okay.
Yeah, they're pulling wagons. Yeah.
Yep, and singing.
And singing. That's a very remarkable.
All right.
Story. All right, have a good Shabbos.
Have a great Shabbos. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
So what had transpired this today that made him go?
So you could tell her about the basin.
Tell me, yeah, I don't
know. Okay, so there's in the basin they have a thing called a toe.
There's a thing called, I don't remember what it's called. They're lawyers, or right, rabbinical lawyers.
Okay. Right, you have secular lawyers, so these are rabbinical lawyers.
Okay.
And Rabbi Raff says that he's never crooks. Met one that's not a crook. They're all crooks, thieves, and whatever. And he refuses to have them in his based in.
Okay.
Because they're a waste of time and they're crooks and all that.
Okay.
So he says, so today he was in a based in and he had one of them because he was a plaintiff for it.
Okay.
And it turned out that he represented this other guy in another based in, and he goes that I lied and I cheated. I did everything I can for this guy and he's not paying me. He's using all my tricks.
Okay.
He's lying to me and he's cheating me.
So he didn't get paid. So that's why he's coming to court.
That's the biggest thing, because he wanted to get paid. So Rally Ralph thought it was funny. Like cruel justice.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
If there was a special name, it's a toe something.
Yeah.
He last week he printed this out for six and seven, 5 and 6.
Oh,
sorry,
okay.
For Vav, and he probably was just looking at Vav.
I see.
So he started at one, where Arshi started at six.
Got it. And
the first one.
I didn't realize that either.
And I picked it up as he started reading. I went, "Oh, I see he's
okay.
Up down here."
So two things: we're not meeting next Thursday, but we're going to see because he's. Find out.
Right, that's number one.
Number two, you said on your phone call, did I need about phone calls, which is sweet. I have, as long as we're, I'm not, I don't know it. So as long as we're still, there's some, I mean, oh, so do you want it back at 7? I'm sure he knows that.
All right, well, then I'm going to leave that in your book. In your Bible.
What is a valley
whip? That's where a naval term. So a valley whip is on a ship. I don't know if it's where you berth, in other words, where you, you know, spend the night. Where you,
oh.
Because often, well, it's more in a submarine, but maybe on a ship too. People sleep in the same place, but at alternate times. So I don't know if that's exactly it, but it's something to do with where you kind of live your, when you're not on duty. That's the closest I can come to it. I know what it's called. It's a sea term. Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Into the car. I'm calling Shlomo about right. So I'm going to call Shlomo on the way before I forget. Things are not going well at my house in terms of organization. I haven't had any consistent phone service on my landline since last week. It's been a zoo, and I finally had a Comcast guy out today, and I thought it all got straightened out. And then I went to pick up my phone messages, and I couldn't get my phone messages. I just get tired really fast. I took a nap this afternoon, which is like not what I do. I just got very tired, and I was cold, and I got in bed, and I fell asleep.
Go out to the window.